Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. It's a story of a young man who was proposing to his girlfriend and said, "Sweetheart, I love you so much. I really want you to marry me. I don't have the money of Johnny Green. I don't have a car like Johnny Green. I don't have a yacht like him. I don't have a house the size of his. I don't even have the looks of Johnny Green, but I love you with all of my heart." She looked at him right in the eyes and says, "I love you too, sweetheart. But could you tell me more about Johnny Green?" Sometimes we have to look deep within ourselves to know the motives of the heart, to really know what is going on inside. As I hope you know, this coming Tuesday is Valentine's Day. There are several stories that date back to the origins of Valentine's Day. The most accepted one is that a priest named Valentine, who lived in Rome around the late 200s AD, had performed Christian marriages against the dictate of the Roman emperor. And for doing so, he lost his life. But it is a day where somewhere along the line has been set aside to remember those we love and those we care for. We all probably struggle a bit finding that special card that says the perfect phrase that has a special meaning. It can be serious and endearing, or many times comical. Here's a few that I found on the shelves. "Help, I've fallen for you and I can't get up." "I love you just the way I am." One card read, "You're my favorite husband." I saw one card that simply read, "You'll do." This year I made up one for my wife, myself. And I want to, she knows I'm going to do this, but she doesn't know what it says. I'm going to present it to her today, live, here before you. And the front of the card reads like this, as you bring it up on the screens. "I think God made a wonderful connection when he brought us together." Isn't that great? There's the Lord's hands. Yeah. You open it up because I'm nuts about you. That's going to cost me a lot of chocolates on Tuesday. But the point is, whether our affection on this day is funny, serious, or just friendly, we are expressing affection of the heart. And that is what I want to talk about today. What does it mean when we talk about our heart? What is the heart? Of course, the first thing we think about is the human heart, and that's the physical heart that keeps us alive, keeps the blood pumping through us. But there is another heart, and I would argue that it is the most important part of our human makeup. Sometimes heart and soul are used interchangeably, but it's not really in most scriptural references. The spiritual heart is typically referred to as the center of our being. It is where emotions are born. It is where feelings and passion come from. Sometimes individuals will go to great lengths to hide what is truly in the heart and what drives us. Jesus said, "From the heart, the mouth speaks." It is also the place where we are tempted the most. When Eve was tempted to eat that fruit, there was something prompting her to gain something. At the root was greed, to be like God. And then Adam fell into the same trap. So within each of us comes this battle for the heart. If you look through the book of Psalms, there are some 145 plus references to the heart. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. But David also knew this is where some of his toughest battles were being placed. This is where he struggled as well. He didn't like some of what he saw or what he did, as we all know. But he knew to be right with God meant that his heart needed to be in tune with God's heart. And for that to happen, it took something. And we can hear what David wanted to say in his plea out of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He wanted to restoration to take place within him that would bring him into that special place that he knew so well with his Creator. There's another Valentine card that reads like this: next to you is my happy place. That is what David was searching for with God. That happy place. We read the word happy several times in today's Psalms. That was a special place that only God can fill. David was searching for inward renewal that only God could give in that place that turmoil often occurs in the heart. And it's the issues of the heart that both Paul and Jesus are also referring to in our readings today. Our gospel reading is again a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been covering over the last several weeks. And Jesus gets directly to six of the issues that we struggle with, and they all originate in the heart. While the Pharisees and the keepers of the law were treating the law as something to be worshipped, they became nothing more than policemen of the covenant law. They were lost on what God spoke through Moses. But if your heart turns away and serves other gods, then you will surely perish. The sacrifices brought to the temple became nothing more than meaningless rituals. Why? Because they lost the meaning. David even recognized that when he wrote, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." In other words, if the sacrifice is to be legitimate, it has to be rooted in the heart. That is what God is after, even in the Old Testament sacrifices. He wants the heart, not just the sacrifice. That just represents what your heart is saying. So here comes Jesus with these words that pierce the very core of the human heart. He starts off each of these issues with, "You have heard," or "It has also been said." And then he counters that with this statement, "But I say to you." Jesus is getting to where it starts. Before murder becomes murder, it becomes something else. It starts with raging anger towards someone in your heart. Settle it there. Jesus said, if you hold something against someone, go and make peace before offering your gift at the altar. As we have discussed before, that is the real reason that we pass the peace before we come to the altar at communion. Not just to say hi, which is great, but if you have something against somebody, make that peace before you come to the altar. Bitterness and hatred can be like a sore that festers and grows inside. Don't hold on to anger and bitterness in your heart. Jesus goes on to talk about other issues that can each be a sermon of their own, but briefly, we know that what adultery is, but Jesus took it a step further. If you lust after someone, you have committed adultery in your heart. Now, lust is not saying someone is good looking. Lust is fantasizing in order to fulfill an inner desire. Adultery is a byproduct of the lust of the heart. Address it there. He speaks of divorce, where it has become an easy just to throw a marriage away. Just write a certificate of divorce. I'll divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. That's all you had to do, and it was over. Many have lost the meaning of marriage and the commitment that comes from the heart. That not only pleases one another, but to God. He's not talking about abuse and infidelity and a lot of the things that we get into where divorce might be necessary. He's talking about the heart issues before it gets to that. Then he speaks of meaningless oaths and swearing, meaning that true character comes from the heart. Jesus is trying to convey that our heart should be in the line with God's heart, to allow our inner being to grow. And that is what Paul was getting at when it comes to the church in Corinth. As with our gospel reading, Paul's teaching is a continuation of the last several weeks that we've been going through 1 Corinthians. Last week we heard these words at the end of our reading: "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, what is the mind of Christ? Some circles treat the mind of Christ much like the Pharisees treated the law. We can look at his teachings, and through whatever spiritual means, we can achieve oneness with God. That's so twisted. The mind of Christ can only be achieved through the heart where Christ resides through his Spirit. It is getting to where Christ is in our heart. It is growing in Christ daily. And it gets us past the petty disagreements Paul was referring to, that he's been covering all this time. Again, Paul is addressing the church that has been established. In essence, us as well. He wants them to grow. Look at what he says. "You are worldly. You are acting like infants." He says, "I gave you the basics." That is, he gave them the message of the cross, salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. And Paul refers to this as milk that we all need as we first grow in Christ. But they needed to grow. But instead, they were letting their worldly hearts control them, not the transformed heart that only Jesus can bring. And again, he reiterates and warns them about the bickering and who to follow. Good grief. You could look through church history and see weird stuff. Wars over priests or what they should wear while they're preaching. I hope you're not like that. Splits over what music should be played. Flowers or no flowers. You name it, and parishes have actually had feuds and split over one way or the other. And you see it today as well. A church in that kind of condition has never gotten past the milk for nourishment. Meat comes when the church, that is the body of Christ, realizes that God has something so much more for you. He wants to do ministry in you and through you. It comes from searching your own heart. Where is it today? Is it centered on Christ? A healthy spiritual heart comes through focusing on what God wants to do through us. What was happening in Corinth is that they were becoming spiritually nearsighted. They were losing their sight of the main thing, growing in Christ in order to make a difference in the world around them. As I talked about before, Corinth was a wonderful place to start a church, to bring this hope in that lost world. It's wonderful to see ministry spring up in the body and people focus on growing in what God is giving them. I see that in many areas of our own parish. A couple of weeks ago when I talked to you about our annual meeting and my sermon to you then, about all the ministries that we are involved in and doing through evangelism, pastoral care, Christian formation, and helping others through outreach. The other day, Debbie and I attended a graduation of some girls from Selah Freedom. You've heard us speak about Selah Freedom. We supported them on many occasions. A ministry to get prostitutes off the streets and provides a safe house for girls going through that program. Debbie has been a volunteer mentor to a couple of those graduates, and one of them graduated last week, and we went to that. And you see, when we look at someone going through that, you see usually only see one side of the person. But most of the time, there is another side of the person. One girl shared how she saw her dad have affairs and caught AIDS and gave it to his wife. They both died of the disease, leaving the girl orphaned, who eventually found the only escape that she could was at the time was to go to the streets as a young teenager. Now, at least in this area, through cooperation with the Sarasota County Attorney, the Sarasota Police Department, a judge, there is cooperation to get girls who want help and an escape from that if they want it through ministries like Selah Freedom. That's not the only one out there. And it's just one example of what's going on. But you see all those issues that we face, all the issues that we have talked about, and even in that one girl, all decisions we make could be defined as sin, have an origin. And the origin is in the heart. And Jesus and Paul are reading in our readings today are saying, clean up the heart. And then step out and do something. Get on a steady diet of seeking after Christ through his Spirit. You see, it is not how big you are as a congregation in order to be effective in ministry. It is a matter of how open you are to being used. It's a matter of allowing our hearts to be free of the stuff that is trying to take us away from the leading of the Spirit. That, brothers and sisters in Christ, comes from the same prayer that David offered to the Lord. Again, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In other words, get rid of all the stuff that hinders you. Give it to him. Let him cleanse you of the issues that would hinder your relationship with him. That's why he came for us. Right now, you have greater opportunity than King David ever did, because what David longed for was fulfilled for all who call on Jesus Christ. And what we do is start chewing on some meat. Read the word of God given to us. Grow in it. Step out in faith when he calls you to do something. We'll never be perfect. That is the goal that Jesus gave us. He said, be perfect as our Father is perfect. That's a standard that we go for, because Jesus is alive within you. But each step of growth that we take is a step closer. God has given us so much to do. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a bunch of people strolling through this church at our flower festival. What an opportunity to allow all of us to be a conduit of God's love, sharing the good news of what he has done for us and is doing through us. A heart that is open, a heart that seeks after God, a heart that is transformed. I believe God desires all of us to be in that happy place with him. David reminds us, happy are those who walk with the Lord. Happy are those who seek after him with all of their heart. It doesn't mean we never face issues, but it does mean God loves you so much. He desires his very best for each and every one of us. He wants you to grow more in him each day, but it has to start somewhere. May he create in us a clean heart. May he renew our spirit to conform to his. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you want to do so much for us and through us. Lord, I ask that you would just help us clean up our hearts. Help us, Lord, to step out of this place renewed in you, looking to you to do wonderful things that you have promised through us. If there's anything conflicting with that, Lord God, in our hearts that we are battling, I pray, Lord God, that you would just sever that. You say you want a circumcised heart, Lord, that we would just cut that stuff away that is there that needs to be away, so that you may grow in each of our hearts, Lord God. So, Father, I ask that you would renew in us that special revival in our hearts, that we would look to you and step out in faith with you to do what you called us to do, whether it's as a parish or as individuals. And we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you thanks. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.